Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who have come to know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, and that you've taken it the next step, you realize that they're beyond corrupt. They're actually counterproductive. They're working against our interests. And, of course, the next logical step from there is to realize that they cannot be fixed. So it's not worth your time. You ought not engage in politics. You ought not try to resolve the problems that ail our counterproductive national and religious institutions, because they are way beyond salvation. Instead, focus on yourself and your family by turning your attention to Yahweh, His Torah, His prophets. Our mission is to know who is working against our interest and who has our best interest at heart. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, the first hour we're going to focus on the news. Second hour we're going to do what we normally do in the second hour on Monday, which is turn our attention to sports and sports in the news. And then in the third hour to what Yahusha had to say during his longest and most well-attended public presentation. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It is the presentation where, in his opening salvo, his introduction to the world, he destroyed the religion that would be based on a corruption of his name. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, our number is toll free. It's 877-376-45. Boko Haram, one of the most overtly fundamentalist Islamic organizations on planet Earth. An Islamic organization that has no affinity whatsoever to Al-Qaeda, or the Taliban, or Hezbollah. A Islamic terrorist organization that doesn't even have a natural affinity to the Muslim Brotherhood. An Islamic terrorist organization that doesn't share personnel or an agenda with any other Islamic organization at all. It's an Islamic organization that reads from the Quran, that follows Muhammad's example, and that is in our face regarding the fact that they are doing what Allah commands in the Quran, that they are doing exactly what Muhammad did. It's such a stark realization. It's so difficult for most to wrap their minds around that kidnapping is part and parcel of Islam, that Muhammad was a serial kidnapper. And that Muhammad kidnapped for two reasons. One was for ransom, the other was for rape. Yes, rape is part and parcel of Islam too. Muhammad was a compulsive rapist. Muhammad realized that he could get men to fight for him and terrorize others into submission if he encouraged them to rape his victims' women. And he did so. And the Quran and Hadith are filled with such examples. There is not a single example in Muhammad's 22 years at the helm of his new religion where Muhammad encouraged Muslims to show restraint. But there are countless examples where Muhammad encouraged his Muslims, the first Muslims, to plunder their opponents, to ravage their opponents, to terrorize his opponents, to enslave them, to rape them, to murder them. Now, when I say opponents, and to know Muhammad is to know Boko Haram. Abu Bakr, the head of Boko Haram, is identical to Muhammad's first recruit, Abu Bakr, in Mecca. No difference between them. To know Muhammad is to know Abu Bakr. To know Islam as it was lived by Muhammad, as it was inspired by Muhammad, is to know Boko Haram. There is no difference, folks. It is just amazing that when a Islamic group follows Muhammad's example, as it is presented in the Hadith, Muhammad's sunnah or example, and as it is presented in the Quran, that people have a disconnect around the world. I mean, it's the whole reason that the world isn't focused on Boko Haram. Now, if you look at the Ukraine and you compare what has happened there to the savage influence of this fundamentalist Islamic group on the Nigerian people, there is no comparison. I mean, it's infinitely worse. And yet the United States is positioning NATO forces to menace the Russians. We're sending the CIA, NATO, Secretary of State, Vice Presidents. We're sending the arsenal, including billions of dollars of American taxpayer money, some $25 billion of it, to prop up a government that really has no legitimacy. And what are we doing to stop the constant onslaught of Boko Haram? Oh, the First Lady, she held up a sign on the White House that says, you know, bring our girls back. Oh, we're doing our part. Rubbish. The reason the world doesn't want to deal with Boko Haram is they don't know how to deal with Boko Haram. There is no way for them to interact against Boko Haram without spilling the beans, without revealing that everything America has stood for, everything Europeans have stood for against their alleged war on terrorism is a complete farce. That Islam is the problem. And it's not a corruption of the religion. It's the religion lived as Boko Haram is living it, is the religion that Muhammad conceived. It is the only accurate interpretation of Islam. There is no possible, potential, credible, peaceful interpretation of the religion. The only individuals who present Islam as peaceful are lying on behalf of their religion, deliberately misleading, like the Muslim guy, and quoting parts of statements out of context, when in fact those very statements in context tell us that Islam and the Quran endorse rape, that Islam and the Quran endorse mass murder, that Islam and the Quran advocate terrorism. And so when you're faced with someone that you can't push off into some mythical organization like Al-Qaeda, where you can't make connections to meaningless organizations that no longer even exist, what do you do? Particularly when they are so in the world's face about the fact that they're doing what the Quran orders them to do. Well, folks, there's only one rational response to Boko Haram. And the reason I'm bringing up Boko Haram is that yesterday they kidnapped another 20 women. They went back to the same community, for God's sake. And they kidnapped another 20 women. I mean, not only haven't we gotten the 275 women back that they previously kidnapped, that they have raped, that they have tortured, that they have compelled to surrender to Islam, that they're threatening if they haven't already sold them off as sex slaves. Not only hasn't the world responded and done anything to recover those 275, here Boko Haram goes back to the same community and kidnaps another 20 women, flaunting Islam in the world's face. You know, there's not a single story about it today in the news. This story, if I hadn't pulled it out of the news when it popped up yesterday, I wouldn't be able to report it to you. The media doesn't want to cover it. Politicians don't want to cover it. No one in the military wants to touch it. And yet, it is the broad banner that tells us what we all ought to know, that Islam is the problem, that it's not a corruption of the religion that caused 9/11. It was suicide bombers performing as fundamentalist Muslims. Well, in their raid today, they went into a village. A spokesperson, his name is Tar, that works for anti-machete. Anti-machete is the, since the military doesn't seem to want to do anything in Nigeria to stop Boko Haram or is incapable of doing it, maybe even be complicit in what they're doing. He said that the men arrived around noon, high noon, middle of the day, and they forced women at gunpoint to enter their trucks. The four men that tried to stop them, that actually had a backbone, that had character, they were willing to risk their lives to save defenseless women. Well, they were kidnapped along with them. They probably have been tortured and are now dead. The anti-machete group, its leader in that community, said, we tried to go after them, but it was too late. And about 3 hours later, we were able to get vehicles and tried to chase after them, but by that time they had gone too far. Now, you know, America sent tens of thousands of troops to Afghanistan. All we did was make a bad situation worse. We sent hundreds of thousands of troops into Iraq. All we did was make a bad situation worse. You don't think that America could use its drones instead of going off and killing those who have harmed no one thus far and deal with these individuals? Don't you think that perhaps we could use our intelligence to work with the Nigerians to get these girls back? Do you think that maybe for once we could actually use our military in a productive way? Of course, what is Boko Haram's purpose? It's the same as every jihadist fighting in Syria's purpose. It's to establish a Sharia-compliant state over all of Nigeria, a state that would follow their example. Yes, you see, the imposition of Sharia would be nothing different than the example we're witnessing. Rape would be legal. Kidnapping would be legal. Torture would be legal. Mass murder would be legal. Going into Christian villages and animist villages and burning them down, even burning them with innocent civilians inside. Ah, that would be legal. That's all Sharia. If they get their will, there will be no way to ever speak out against them, because speaking out against Islam in a Sharia country is condemned. Palestine, Pakistan's Taliban, not much difference in the mythical people known as the Palestinians and the Pakistani Taliban, but nonetheless, this is a story about the Pakistani Taliban. They attacked the airport in Karachi for a second time in 48 hours. The first attack killed more than 30 people. They were armed to the gills. Grenades, rocket-propelled grenades, hand grenades, as well as rocket-propelled grenades, rockets, AK-47s. They were arrived in vans, all dressed in airport security uniforms, so they looked the part. Their goal, of course, was to not only kill a lot of Pakistani security forces around the airport, but to also torch large segments of the airport, some of which they were able to destroy, and also to bring down airplanes. They claim that the raids 2 days ago were a rousing success and said they would continue to assault the Karachi airport, and they did so. They don't know how many people were killed at this time. But the best estimate is that some 30 more people were killed and that 34 people were killed 2 days ago. The head of the Pakistani Taliban, Shahidullah Shahid, said, "We take full responsibility for another successful attack against the government." We should be very, very concerned about this as Americans. You know, what happens Afghanistan was nothing but a waste of American lives. Five more Americans died there in Afghanistan today, and we'll talk about how they died and what really should be the future of fighters in the American arsenal, in fact, the world's arsenal. So, yes, Afghanistan is this giant black hole. Americans died making a bad situation worse. But Afghanistan did not occur in a vacuum. By having Americans go into Afghanistan to fight a war there, it means that America, since it brought in very little war material through Russia into Afghanistan, because quite frankly, we have a horrid history, the United States does, with Russia relative to Afghanistan. We arranged with our weaponry to kill tens of thousands of Russians back in the late 70s, early 80s in Afghanistan by fighting a proxy war against the Soviet-backed government there in Afghanistan. So the last thing the Russians are going to do is allow us to bring in war materials to fight the very Taliban that we had deployed against the Russians 20 or 30 years ago, which means now that all the war materials had to be driven by way of caravans through Pakistan, which means that the United States needed to bribe Pakistan to have the rights to transit its country to bring in these war materials. But the problem is the Taliban is the conceiver of, the organizer of, the controlling entity over the Taliban. Now, they created the Taliban for the express purpose of controlling Afghanistan. And now we were going to be bribing the Pakistani government to go to war with its own entity. Now, that created an internal war within Pakistan, turning a Pakistani allied organization into an enemy so that the Pakistani government could receive billions of dollars of U.S. weaponry. But, of course, it's worse than that because many of the transports going through Pakistan were captured by the Taliban, which means that all of the weapons aboard those transports fell into the Taliban's hands. So now they are extraordinarily well armed, and it's our fault. And they have a mission. You know, they're opposed now to both the Pakistani government for allowing the Americans to use Pakistani soil to bring in weapons to fight them, and, of course, also the Americans. Now, the reason this is such a miscalculation, and that's what's so bothersome to me about the American government. We misappraise everything. It's everybody that has come into power in America was raised through and grew up and was indoctrinated through the politically correct educational system where, as a group, they're wholly incapable of understanding the consequence of their actions. What we now have in Pakistan is a civil war. It's between fundamentalist Muslims and an Islamic government with a nuclear arsenal at play. That was the consequence of us invading Afghanistan. It was insane. We'll return to this story after the commercial break. We have been dumbed down as a people to the point that the population, a general population, is almost blind to what is happening. Yeah, most Americans know that the invasion of Afghanistan was a horrible mistake. Not all, but about 60%. About 60% of Americans know that the invasion of Iraq was counterproductive. They really don't know much other than, yeah, it doesn't seem like we did any good, and there's a lot of fighting there now, and yeah, we lost a lot of people and squandered a lot of money. And the same thing would be true with Afghanistan. But somehow they justify and say, yeah, but, you know, we had to do something after 9/11. Or they justify and say, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. Then he gassed some people out there and some Kurds. And yet, the vast preponderance can't put the pieces together, can't evaluate the massive size of the blunder, of how counterproductive it was. And let's just speak of that for a moment, because Our politicians ought to have been able to do it. Our military ought to have been able to do it. I mean, we elect people that are supposed to be qualified to make these kinds of decisions, and yet they were incapable of it as well. I mean, look at what happened with the invasion of Afghanistan. First of all, our government knew for certain that Al-Qaeda was not responsible for 9/11. That plan had been conceived by Ramzi Youssef. He was already, by that time now, not the time that he conceived it, he conceived the plot in 95, very proximate to his first bombing of the World Trade Center. But because he had been arrested and convicted of the first bombing of the World Trade Center, the perpetrator of and the mastermind, if you want to say, of the 9/11 terrorist attack of training Muslims to fly commercial airliners and the targets that they flew into, the mastermind of that plan was Ramzi Youssef. He was already in custody of the U.S. government. We didn't have to go around the world and invade a country to hold the mastermind accountable. The perpetrators of 9/11 didn't come out of Afghanistan. They were not Afghanis. They were mostly Saudi Arabians. And most of them, living outside of Saudi Arabia, were in Hamburg, Germany, going to the Al-Aqsa Mosque there. Afghanistan did not perpetrate 9/11. And Al-Qaeda was just one of many Islamic terrorist organizations that supported the plan that Ramzi Youssef, who was not a member of Al-Qaeda, had conceived. Virtually all fundamentalist Muslims around the world celebrated 9/11. So we had no legitimate basis for invading Afghanistan unless your basis is, well, you know, we're going to hold somebody accountable. And even if the people aren't really accountable, it's the American way. We'll go and kick some butt. But they didn't bother to think of, A, can you make Afghanistan better by the sacrifice of American coin and blood? And B, is there a consequence of us going into Afghanistan that could plague us later? The answer to A was no. And I recognize that it was no 13 years ago. Did hundreds upon hundreds, in fact, over 2,500 talk radio shows telling America, this is counterproductive. Get out of here. We're making a bad situation worse. We have no chance of leaving Afghanistan better than we found it. Afghanistan will be identical to Vietnam, I told people 13 years ago, everyone who would listen, that it'll be identical to Vietnam, that we will eventually leave after we've suffered many casualties and after we've squandered our reputation and our treasury, and Afghanistan will be as it was before we invaded. And that's now inevitable. But think of how many lives we squandered in the process. Now, I understand that if you're listening to these words and your son or daughter was killed in Afghanistan, you might be angry at me for telling you that they died in vain, but you ought not be angry with me. You ought to be angry at your government that sent them there. Exactly what happened in Afghanistan and Vietnam is what's going to happen in Afghanistan. It will end the exact same way. There will ultimately be a negotiation. We will declare peace with honor, and we will leave, and the Taliban will return as if we had never been there. But, well, that is the fate of Afghanistan, and it is inevitable. And there is nothing America can do to stop it. Even if America were to increase its troop presence there tenfold and commit to stay there for another 10 years, there's nothing we can do to stop it. But beyond that was the consequence of invading Afghanistan. And 13 years ago, I told Americans on those 2,500 to 3,000 talk radio programs that the reason it's stupid is that we are providing weapons to the Pakistani government, and yet pushing the most fundamentalist Muslims out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, where they will undermine that government, and that there will ultimately be the kind of war that we're witnessing right now today, where the Taliban is openly going into large public facilities like the airport, where they kill 64 people over the course of these 2 days, terrorizing the country. Why? Because they know that they will ultimately now prevail in Pakistan. And we ought to be very concerned about that, because Pakistan has nuclear weapons. And guess where they're going to deploy those nuclear weapons? No, folks, it's not going to be in India. It will be in the United States. And it was inevitable. It was the natural consequence of us invading Afghanistan. I explained exactly what we're witnessing now to the American people through these thousands of talk radio programs 12 and 13 years ago, beginning in the late fall of 2001. I knew it because I had met with al-Qaeda by that time. I knew it because I had interviewed fundamentalist Islamic terrorists. I knew it because I had begun to study the Quran and the Islamic hadith that comprises the Sunnah that is the basis of Sharia. I knew the enemy, and Americans did not. And while every American politician and general was trying to differentiate between Muslim and al-Qaeda and saying the enemy was al-Qaeda, I would say, no, that's not true. But too few people listened. And now we have a situation where it's only a matter of time before the fundamentalist Muslims, the Taliban in particular, take control of Pakistan, and those nuclear weapons are deployed in America. That will be the consequence of our stupidity. You know, and me just simply saying, I told you so, at that point it's going to sound awfully hollow, isn't it? But I told you so. Now, I'm here to tell you that the invasion of Iraq may have been even worse. And again, going back 12 years ago, I warned America about the invasion of Iraq and said there is no chance that this is going to turn out well. I explained the truth, which was the opposite of what the President of the United States was saying, that there was no al-Qaeda presence in Iraq. None. We had no justification for going into Iraq based upon al-Qaeda being there, because al-Qaeda and the Iraqi government were absolute enemies. Saddam Hussein was the single most effective Islamic ruler in the world in opposition to Islamic terrorist organizations. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were arch enemies. They weren't allies. Now, beyond that, I recognize that by invading Iraq and allowing Iraqis to vote for their own government, deposing Saddam Hussein, killing him, that what we were going to end up with was a government that was run by Tehran. And that's exactly what we got. We took Iran's only enemy in the region and we turned them into Iran West, which gave Iran total control over Syria, which gave Iran total control over Lebanon, which dramatically changed the balance of power between Sunni and Shia Islam in the region, with Iran now able to complete its nuclear ambitions, able to spend money on its military capabilities that were being squandered in a war with Iraq. Giving Iran absolute control over not only Iran, but Iraq, Syria, and of course, Lebanon. But even beyond that, now the Iranians have enormous influence over Hamas because they're the primary supplier of their weapons. the civil war that we're witnessing now between the Sunni and Shia Muslims, where America is the primary supplier of weapons, is a direct consequence of our invasion of Iraq. So not only in Iraq did we make a bad situation worse. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. Yeah, he did kill some of his own people. Not a lot of them. And the ones that he killed asked for it. You know, it's gone over it on three different programs, the history of the Kurd attack and why the Kurds were attacked. And it wasn't a civilian, innocent population that was attacked. And it wasn't Saddam Hussein's first avenue of response. You know, the Kurds took up weapons against their own government. They leagued with the Shia Iranians to take down the Iraqi government. That gas attack was a direct consequence of that. So now you look at Iraq. We broke the country. The Christian population has gone from a couple of million down to a few hundred thousand. Terrorism has gone from occurring once every other year with a few dozen being killed to scores of people being killed in terrorist acts that are perpetrated every day, sometimes as many as 10 to 20 terrorist acts a day. We made a bad situation much worse. Nearly 7,000 Americans' lives were squandered in Iraq, making a bad situation worse. Radically increasing the prevalence of Islamic terrorism. It's almost 1,000,000% worse than... That sounds ludicrous to say 1,000,000%, but that's really the number. I did an analysis of terrorist attacks in Iraq before and after America's invasion, and it's 1,000,000% increase. So from a why did we invade Iraq perspective, there weren't weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, even if there had been, then the decision to send Americans ends far worse. A, those weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological weapons, weren't going to be used against Americans unless we sent Americans in to invade Iraq. So if he had them, it was murderous for an American president to say that Americans ought to die confronting chemical and biological weapons that were never going to be used against Americans. And that was insane. It was grotesquely immoral if he had them. And if he didn't have them, then every reason we use to justify invading Iraq, which has led to the deaths of either hundreds of thousands or almost 1,000,000 people, depending on which sources you trust, and the sacrifice of nearly 7,000 American lives, it was insane. It was grotesquely immoral. And so whether he had them or not, the choice was asinine. And, of course, by invading, we simply gave Iraq to Iran. Made it the world's worst place to live in terms of terrorism. The Christians there were annihilated as a result of our invasion. But there's a consequence beyond that. Just like there's a consequence of us invading Afghanistan that they still haven't acknowledged as a government, as a military. And the consequence of invading Iraq is the Syrian war. 300,000 or 400,000 people have been killed. More than that have been raped. Millions have been exiled from their homes. Whole cities have been wiped out, completely destroyed. All because America stupidly invaded Iraq, because it changed the balance of power in the region. And the Syrian war is a proxy war between Sunni and Shia Muslims because of that change in the balance of power. It has nothing to do with Assad. It has nothing to do with freedom fighters. It has nothing to do with a desire for democracy. Nothing. It is a proxy war that is fought because America invaded Iraq, empowered Iran in the process, and the Saudi Arabians and the Turks are concerned about the rise of Shia Islamic influence in the region. That's why the war is being waged. Now, we ought to feel guilty for having created a war where several hundred thousand people have died and several hundred thousand women have been raped, we ought to feel a sense of national guilt over having made that war inevitable. Of course, we don't. Our answer is to provide ever more weapons to make the consequence of that war ever more deadly. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a real serious consequence of that beyond Syria. And that is just as Islamic terrorist atrocities mushroomed after the ill-advised American proxy war in Afghanistan in the late 70s and 80s, when it was over by the sometime in the early 90s, those jihadists that had fought in the Great Jihad came back home to their countries, and they perpetrated horrible terrorist acts there, throughout Europe, throughout Russia, throughout the United States, throughout Africa. The exact same thing is going to happen in the aftermath of the Syrian war. Ultimately, Syria will be a pile of rubble. Ultimately, the death toll in Syria is going to go from hundreds of thousands to millions. Ultimately, the Assad government will be brought down. The jihadists will go back home. And when they go back home, they will perpetrate heinous acts of terrorism, far worse than what we experienced in the aftermath of the Afghani proxy war that Jimmy Carter had initiated. But beyond that, feeling empowered, Muslims are going to compel the world to sacrifice Israel, thinning the nation to make it easier prey, and then millions of Muslims are going to attack Israel.